This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm Mac Pritchard, your host and publisher of MaxList. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Ben Forrestag, Managing Director of MaxList, and Jenna Forrestrom, our Community Manager. This week, we're talking about how to start over in a new city. Have you ever thought about putting everything you own into a moving van and taking a job in a new city? The typical American moves almost 12 times in a lifetime. Some of those moves may be across town, others are to a neighboring city or state, and some may take you to the other side of the country. Whether you move dozens, hundreds, or thousands of miles, you'll face common challenges with job hunting and settling into a new city. Our guest expert this week, Terry St. Marie, knows all about starting over. He'll share his best tips for building a career and a community from scratch. Our show is brought to you by The Weekend Resume Makeover, a new online course from renowned career expert Jenny Foss. If you're not happy with your resume, Jenny can help. Learn how Jenny can teach you how to write a killer resume in just 2 days. Visit maxlist.org/jobjenny. So let's go to the MaxList team before we chat with Terry. Jenna, Ben, have you two ever started over in a new city?
I have. I moved from Beaverton, Oregon to Boston, Massachusetts to go to university.
That's a long trip.
When I was 17 and I had a prompt freak out the week before, and my mom's advice was, you can go for a semester and if you really hate it, you can come back and no one will ever hold that against you. But if you quit before going, you're always going to wonder whether or not you were supposed to go. So I went, sucked it up, went, loved it, stayed for 4 years, finished my degree, and then relocated back to Portland, Oregon after graduating.
And once you got there, how long did it take, Jenna, before you knew after you'd arrived in Boston that you were going to stay, that it was going to be your home for the next 4 years?
Oh, as soon as I landed and got a Dunkin' Donut, and I was so happy, I was like, this is the best life decision ever.
Okay.
It's the little things in life.
Yeah. So you preferred the Dunkin' Donuts over the Voodoo Donuts?
Yes. Hands okay. down.
All right. Good advice both on relocation and donuts. What about you, Ben?
Yeah, a couple of times. I went to Washington, D.C. for college. I moved to Spain for a couple of years. I moved back to D.C. from Spain. And then most recently moved from Washington, D.C. to Portland here. And each time had some challenges finding work and building a network in those towns.
Were there things that you did in each of those moves that helped make it easier for you to settle?
Well, definitely by the time I made the decision to move to Portland, I figured out what works and what doesn't. And so laying some groundwork from networking, making some trips out here before my wife and I permanently relocated, and just kind of laying out that groundwork of meeting people, talking to people, trying to get plugged into the community, that really helped me.
Yeah. And I've moved to three new cities. I grew up in the Midwest in Davenport, Iowa, but after college, which really it was only 60 miles from my hometown, so that it didn't feel like it was that far from where I grew up. But after college, I lived on the East Coast, first in D.C., and then in Boston, and then finally moved out to Portland 25 years ago this summer. What helped me in each of those moves was to have a network in place before I actually went. So when I went to D.C., I had a job lined up, and it was the same with Boston and with Portland. But I have found that as the years have gone by, it gets harder and harder to start over. So the community you become part of becomes even more valuable as you get older. Well, good. Well, Terry's going to talk about that and other challenges people face when they relocate to a new city, particularly when they're looking for work in a new place. But first, let's turn to Ben. Now, Ben, you're out there every week searching the internet and looking for tools and resources our listeners can use in their job search. What have you found for us this week?
So this week, we're talking about relocation, and I found a post from Glassdoor.com, which is the 25 best cities for jobs. So if you're moving to find work, these are the cities you'd want to move to.
And I got to say, Ben, you're a big fan of Glassdoor. I think this is the second or third time
you've used the site. And I'll explain. One of the reasons I really like the content they put out there is because it's grounded in a lot of the data they gather from their users. So basically, Glassdoor, if you're an employer or an employee of organizations, you go in and you enter data about your experience there, your salary, kind of whatever information that you want to share. And they extrapolate out of that some really interesting stuff. So, as I'll explain here, one of the ways they rank cities is it's not just, here's the hip town of the moment, but they're going through and they're looking at, you know, what's the median house value at? What's the median salary at? How many job openings are currently posted on Glassdoor and other sites right now? And they mix all those together and come up with these rankings. So these are 25 cities which stand out for an abundance of jobs, an affordable cost of living, and high levels of job satisfaction and work balance. And like I said, I'm a data nerd, so this kind of stuff I love. Mac and Jenna, do you want to take a guess at the best city in America for a job?
Boston and Massachusetts.
It's on the list, but it's not at the top.
Dang.
I would guess D.C. just because it's such a prosperous place when I look there.
Also,
go on visits.
Yeah, also on the list, but not at the very top. At the very top are San Jose, California, and less than 50 miles away, San Francisco, California. That are one and two, respectively.
Well, I have to say I'm surprised about San Francisco when given what we hear about rents and housing costs there.
Yeah, I'm guessing that the salaries are so high that they compensate for the rent, because certainly we hear a lot of stories about how outrageously priced all the cost of living is there. There's actually a lot of the usual suspects here, the cities that you'd expect to show up on a list like this. So places like Washington, D.C. or Boston, Seattle, Chicago, and Atlanta. But there were also a few surprises there. So, for example, when you think of a hot job market, you typically don't think of Detroit or Oklahoma City. But both those towns show up on the list. They're both in the top 15. And even my hometown, Cleveland, Ohio, is ranked pretty highly as well.
So what's driving that, Ben? Is it particular sectors that are located in those towns?
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of specific industries that are growing in those towns, but also the opportunity to live a relatively affordable lifestyle. So, you know, places like San Francisco and San Jose, they're in the heart of Silicon Valley. So job opportunities there are going to focus in the tech sector, whereas tech jobs might not be so prolific in places like Oklahoma City or Cleveland, where the economy is structured around energy or healthcare, for example. But I know every time I go visit my old hometown, I'm always like shocked by how cheap housing looks, for example. And if you can find a good job, which admittedly is a challenge in a place like Cleveland, you can get a really nice home and have a very high standard of living at a cost that's a fraction of what it costs in Portland, for example. So if you're in the mood for a big move, or you just want to see where your town shows up in the list, check out 25 Best Cities for Jobs on Glassdoor.com. And as always, we'll include the link in the show notes.
Great. Well, thanks for that, Ben. And for the benefit of listeners who aren't receiving the show notes, we publish those every Wednesday. And there's a simple way to sign up. Just go to the podcast section of maxlist.org, and you'll find directions there about how to get the show notes in your own inbox every week. Now, if you have a suggestion for Ben, you can write him. His email address is ben@maxlist.org. And we would love to hear from you and would love to feature your ideas or suggestions on the show. Now, let's turn to you, our listeners. Jenna's here to answer one of your questions. Jenna, what's in the mailbag this week?
This week's question is, I'm moving to a new city for a job. Any tips on how to make sure my professional life doesn't completely overtake my personal life? I thought this was a great question, and kind of what you were talking about, how when before you move, Mac, how you always have a network in place. So a really great feature to use is on Facebook, they have this in the search bar, you can say friends who live in a city and find out who your friends who are maybe already living there. I did this recently for one of my roommates just moved from Portland, Oregon to Austin, Texas. And since she didn't know anyone in Austin, I did a search and introduced her through Facebook to a couple of my friends just saying, hey, my roommate's moving to Austin. She's really awesome. She's working in the tech field. You happen to be in the tech field, happen to be a woman. Maybe you guys can get cocktails together and just show her around town. And so that was just helped her get her foot in the door in terms of making friends, starting a network outside of work. But some other tips I had for this person would be to just sign up for opportunities on Meetup. So look for opportunities to volunteer or join a rec sports league or take an art class. Just whatever you are comfortable with or whatever you're passionate about in your current city, how that can transfer into your new city. Another great way is to just act like a tourist or be comfortable eating lunch alone, because chances are a bartender or a server might take pity on you and ask what you're doing. And you can kind of just say like, oh, I'm new to town. And like, what do you recommend? Or I saw this on Yelp. Why are you great? For whatever reasons. When I moved back to Portland after college, I made a friend through volunteering at my church and mentioned that I was trying to make friends. And she invited me line dancing, which I would have never done. But because she was my like one friend, and she introduced me to like 10 people that line dance. And it was just this really fun way to like make friends. So those are my suggestions. Mac and Ben, what have you guys done?
Ben?
I mean, I think the best piece of advice is just always say yes to opportunities when they come up. So whether it's line dancing or anything else, when you have an opportunity to meet people and get out and socialize, take that opportunity, which is a good mantra for your personal life and your work life as well.
For me, some of the ideas you were rattling off, I have used during previous searches. In pre-internet days, when I first came to Portland, I used alumni directories that were actually in the form of old-fashioned paper books. And
the original Facebook.
Yes, the original Facebook. From my graduate school at Harvard. And that connected me with people here in Portland. But whether you use a paper book or an internet or a database, all colleges and universities have records of graduates, and you can sort by geography. And it's a great way to meet people. Classes, I remember when I first went to Boston taking Spanish classes. And when you're learning a language, you're goofy, and people are, I think, more at ease, and it's kind of a fun way to connect with folks. And then volunteering, I've always, wherever I've lived, gotten involved in community organizations and served on boards or worked on events, and particularly events which are short-term are a great way to connect with people fast.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. So I got to ask, is there a video of the line dancing?
Ooh, probably. I hope not. Still go. It's really fun here in Portland.
Okay.
And of course, we'll share the link to that in the show notes.
Yeah. Bushwalkers, Tualatin, Oregon.
All right. I'm just imagining the music to that. So if you were looking for a reason to subscribe to the show notes, if there is video, we'll certainly include it. Thanks, Jenna. And if you have a question for Jenna, please email her. Her address is jenna@maxlist.org. Now, these segments with Ben and Jenna are sponsored by the Weekend Resume Makeover. It's a new online course from renowned resume coach Jenny Foss. When you find that perfect job, you need to craft a killer application. You need something that will get noticed and land you an interview. And you need to do it quickly before someone else lands your dream job. Now, you could pay for a custom resume, or you can save time and you can save money by learning the tips and tricks for resume writing yourself. How do you do that? Well, Job Jenny's Weekend Resume Makeover course teaches you how to think like a hiring manager. It takes you through a step-by-step proven process that will make your resume stand out and get the attention your application deserves. The Weekend Resume Makeover captures everything Jenny Foss does best. It makes things simple, it will help you get results, and you'll have some fun along the way. To see the Weekend Resume Makeover course for yourself, visit maxlist.org/jobjenny. Now let's turn to this week's guest expert, Terry St. Marie. Terry Starbucker St. Marie is a writer, consultant, entrepreneur, and startup investor. He lives in Portland, Oregon. Before moving to the Rose City in 2010, he had a successful 23-year tenure as an executive in the cable television industry. Terry has extensive experience in business operations, customer care, strategy, and financial management. For the past 10 years, he's also published a popular blog featuring his more human leadership philosophy. You can find it at terrystarbucker.com. He was recently cited by Inc. magazine as one of the top 100 leadership and management experts. Terry, thanks for coming to the studio today.
Hello, Mac. Good to see you. Great to be here today.
Yeah. It's a pleasure to have you here. Now, Terry, I could think of about 12 different topics I could interview you on. And
more than 12, Mac. Like 50.
Yeah, at least a baker's dozen.
At least.
Yeah. So why how to start over in a new city? Well, there are two reasons. One is this is a popular topic for our listeners.
I would imagine.
Yeah, because we reach people around the country. And many people think about making a move during their career. The other is, I watched you create a community here in Portland since you arrived about 6 years ago, and it's impressive.
Thank you.
Say, Mac, you know a lot of people in Oregon or around the country, but Terry, I think you know more. So what I want to do today is have a conversation for those listeners who are thinking about starting over in a new city, particularly looking for work, maybe from a long distance. And once they find that job, how they can create a community and a network. So thanks again for joining us.
It's my pleasure. And I would preface this with probably snippets first off, Mac, with my own experience, because I think I'm pretty typical in a lot of respects. I found myself in 2010 out of a job. And
I've been there too.
Yes, we've all been there. And it was one of those situations where I was fortunate in one part, where it was a successful exit of a business, and I had some runway, I had some time, which a lot of people don't have, and we can talk right. about the differences.
Sure.
But I had an opportunity, and I had to look for something else to do. And the point that I want to make about this was, I thought, and I know this may be counterintuitive to a lot of people, but I thought place first.
Okay.
And place, when I mean by place, it's the kind of a place that I think, whatever job skills you have, because most job skills, I think, in every major city in the U.S., especially in the white-collar world, if it's a professional job, you know, they're everywhere. You can find them. So really, to me, the key is to be able to find which town is a great match, not only of your skill, but your sense of place, the kind of place you want to live in, the kind of community you want to live in. And what I remember about Portland, I came here on a vacation in 2007. And what I remembered about Portland that was stuck with me so much, and I said, this is the kind of place I want to be, was that I would go, you know, as a tourist, I'd go to these places, retail places and Whole Foods and the coffee places, and they would always be asking me, what are you doing today? What's going on with you today? And I'm like, what are you asking me that for? And the point of that is that they had a friendliness, and they were already trying to make a connection with me in a way, right? It wasn't like, mm-hmm. how are you doing today? It was like, what are you doing the rest of the day? And of course, that's a pretty personal question, but it gave me a sense that this is a real community here. People, and it was genuine, people had a concern for you. So I sat back, and I was living in Connecticut at the time, and my wife and I sat at the kitchen table, like many people do when they're trying to decide. And we're like sorting through all of our experiences one way or the other. And we said, you know, we have to try Portland. And so when the opportunity came, I did a couple of things. First, I did survey some of the business environment here. I looked at whatever available resource I had. And of course, Mac, these days, you can find out just about anything you want just by Googling it. And I would advise anybody when they're scouring towns or looking for towns, there's a wealth of information out there. And it's not necessarily through things like Chamber of Commerce and some of the statistics there. It's actually to find things that, you know, find writers, bloggers, business blogs, columns, things that, you know, people take observations about what's going on in the town. Like in Portland, it was Silicon Florist for me. You know, Rick Terozzi is a big influential guy here. He writes about the startup world. And I heard about that because I was connected. We were connected on social media, which is another great tool. And so I didn't really know him, but I found out a lot about the community and the business environment there. And I found that it was a pretty vibrant startup community. And so that was a critical piece of information for me.
Okay. So once people are, our listeners are, settle on a place, whether they fall in love with it or there's some personal time, maybe family reasons to go there or mm-hmm. they have friends. They make that choice.
Yes.
And then in your experience, they should begin the research. But it sounds like you took an untraditional way approach to the research. It wasn't.
I did. Then I actually just came here.
Yeah.
Without, I didn't have any pre-interviews arranged.
Okay.
I didn't have anything selected. I just decided that in my case, and now this isn't the case for everybody, and we can talk about either way, because I think I could have done a lot of the things I did remotely as well as on-site. When I got here, I started the networking and connecting process. And of course, that's always critical in any case, to be able to say, okay, and maybe just to come up with an example, say I'm an accountant and I want to find a bookkeeping job in a particular town. Of course, when I get here, I will have already done, or when I got here, I would have already done all the research of all the accounting firms in town and all the temporary accounting services in town. But that's just a part of it. It's one thing, because it's very hard to cold call somebody and say, at an accounting firm, and say, you know, I want to apply for a job. And I think most people will tell you that's not the way to do it, right?
Right. But I do see people who work find work from a remote distance. And have you had that experience too, Terry? And how have you seen people do that?
Well, again, it's connections. It's, I think, like a thing, LinkedIn is a very good methodology for that these days. And there's a lot of tools on there. And I'm not a LinkedIn expert, but I know several people that have taught me where you can do searches for second and third level people. And you may think you may not be connected to anybody in Cleveland or in Austin or in Chicago or something. But if you work LinkedIn enough, and let's say you're at a point where you have, and I would encourage you to do so, to get up to the 300, 500 connection range, you know, with old friends that you did business with before, new friends, and you do these second and third level connection searches that you can do on LinkedIn, boom, you'll find somebody in Cleveland who's senior vice president or vice president of something. And what you do is you ask that person that's connected to introduce yourself to them.
Oh, okay. So know where you want to go, be clear about the field or sector you want to work in, and then make sure that your online networks are up to date and you've gone back and connected with everybody you ever worked with or perhaps knew well in college or grad school.
Yeah, it's very essential. I can't even tell you how important the value of leveraging even connections you may not even think, again, that have a geographical connection to someplace else. You just never know, because it's such a transient working community now, right? People have multiple jobs now over their careers. They move a lot more over their careers. So you have to take advantage of that if you're a job seeker sitting in one place thinking about going somewhere else 2,000 miles away or 1,000 miles away. You have to leverage that. And you can apply the same thing that exists in LinkedIn. You can do it on Twitter. You can do it on Facebook. There's just a lot of ways to make a connection with somebody, and then you can ask them, make an ask or make a connection. And there's a lot of different ways that you can do that. And of course, I have sort of a methodology in my mind in which you can do that type of thing. Because in my view, you have to start with more like the human connection.
Yeah, let's talk about that, Terry. When you talk about a human connection, so what does that mean? And because I think a lot of people think, well, if I just collect enough followers on Twitter or LinkedIn, all my problems will be solved.
That were true.
Okay. So tell us more.
Well, again, like in my example, when I got here, I would ask for an intro through LinkedIn or through, when you're physically in the community, of course, you can go to community events, you can join organizations, and you meet someone. And let's say I went and asked for an intro. But before I asked for that intro, I would go on their profile, look them up, Google them, find out a lot about them, and try to find not necessarily the business interest, but the human connection interest. They like the same football team as I, the Green Bay Packers. Green and gold. Yay. I have to say that. Go Packers. Anyway, so if they're fishermen or they like computers or they're this or that or the other. So when the intro comes, and that's a classic way to do intros now, is so-and-so writes an email to you, copies the other person, says, I'd like to introduce you to so-and-so. And they usually throw a few things in there. And so instead of just replying, yes, I'm looking for a job, can you hook me up? Which isn't necessarily good. You say, hey, it's great to meet you. I understand you're a Packers fan too, or you're from Wisconsin. I'm from Wisconsin too. Have you been to every Packer games? Have you been to Lambeau Field? What do you think about Brett Favre? What do you think about Aaron Rodgers, et cetera? And you start a rapport. And chances are that person is going to reply back and go, yeah, I'm a Packer fan too. This is great. We ought to meet up for coffee. You haven't even talked about a job. You've made a human connection. Then when you actually go the second round is what I call the sort of the business connection.
Okay.
That's where if you're looking for a marketing job or you're doing, let's say, community management or social media management, you notice that that person had it in their background 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Hey, I noticed you're doing that too. You know, I'd love to compare notes with you and talk to you about it because that's the career field that I want to go in. I just moved into town or I'm about to move into town. So if you're not here, can we have a Skype about it or can we meet for coffee about it? My preferred way is to meet for coffee. I prefer not to ply people with lunch. I like coffee. And that has been my sort of go-to thing here in Portland for a long time. And I set up an hour meeting. It's never like high. I never had a set agenda with them other than I've made the human connection and I've made the business connection. And then typically when I have that face-to-face, that's when I want to formulate the right ask. And that ask can be in a lot of different forms, because if that person, of course, is someone, a direct hiring decision person, well, then you can ask them for an interview or if you have any openings. But that's usually not typical. It's very rare when you can get to the person that is essentially making the hiring decision. Usually it's somebody that will probably have to make another intro or to put your name into consideration or give you a reference or something like that. But I think you have to understand completely what that person really can do for you,
mm-hmm.
And what they can't do. And maybe it's what they can't do is probably what you need to understand more, because you don't want to put an ask in there that they feel uncomfortable with.
Okay. So you come to that meeting with an ask in mind, and you've thought about the business purpose.
Yes, of course. And you have to prep. I don't mean to treat these kind of meetings as being off the cuff, very casual. Yes,
right.
I think in tone, because you've made a human connection and a personal connection, especially in a town like Portland. And I think that's where this pre-research comes in really, really handy. I was pre-told, and it proved to be true, that people do rarely say no to taking a meeting or to having at least a coffee with you. Now, that's pretty good knowledge to have. Yeah. Because it lowers any barriers to the ask. And or you may further know that this is the kind of town where it's all about connections, it's all about community, and more often than not, there's only 2 degrees of separation between people. That's another fact I think you need to know before you go in.
Yeah, but and though you're talking about your experiences in Portland, Terry, I know you've worked across the country,
mm-hmm.
and what's been your experience applying these principles in other cities? These aren't unique to Oregon, are they?
No, I think they can be unique in a town. I'd say anything, because Portland's the 26th largest city. I think I just saw the statistic. So I think you can go pretty far up the list before you get into something that becomes a little bit more complicated, like a Chicago or a New York or Los Angeles. Now, I've lived in the New York metropolitan area. I've lived in the Los Angeles metropolitan area. And I know how it's much more segmented there. And I think you just can't break it down by city there. You practically have to break it down by area. It's like, well, what's it like to find a job in Manhattan? Or it's different than finding a job in White Plains or in Fairfield County, or depending on what you're doing. So New York is a lot more fast-paced. That's a great example. You should never ask for an hour meeting in New York City. People don't have time for an hour in New York. It's got to be 15 minutes. And you should pick a place near a subway station, because people are always in transit there. And this is from my own personal experience. To try to take meetings in a town like that, and it goes back to the point I was making earlier. You have to understand the place that you're at. And it's not so folksy, and it's not so community-based. It's like, you got 15 minutes. Tell me your story. What's your point? What's your ask? Just right. Tell me.
Okay. So know your local market, and it'll vary depending on what part of the country you're in. But again, that the principles of making that human connection are the same. They're universal.
Exactly. And even in the 15 minutes, there's got to be like one or two sentences. I would never just jump into a conversation with the ask. Even if you only have 10 minutes, there's got to be some piece of information you can exchange that's personal in nature, human in nature, because I think most people when it comes to making a recommendation or a reference or to finally get to that place on someone's desk where they're making hiring decisions or interview decisions and they've got 35, well, that's probably conservative, in some case, 50 resumes sitting on their desk. And then that person you had coffee with comes strolling into that office and says, hey, you know, this one right here, you might want to take, you know, a better look at that. Now, what's going to motivate them to do that? Is it just the facts on the resume that you so aptly pointed out to them during your coffee? Oh, I have these qualifications. I have that qualifications. Or if you've already established a rapport with them, you talked about the Green Bay Packers, you talked about life, you talked about your goals, your objectives, and they found that, well, now that's the right kind of personality, the right kind of person with a capital P that should be in this business. You know, the resume stuff is okay, but you know, you just may want to talk to this person. I just recently had a conversation and I really enjoyed it. I think it's rare on the other side because I've been in that desk. You know, I had 1,100 people working for me at one time, and I had 50 resumes sitting on my desk. And I can tell you that when I had a colleague or a friend just phone me up, it really wasn't a discussion about qualifications per se. It was about the person. So, I mean, I know this conversation keeps coming back to human connection, but I think that's really the theme. If I'm going to throw a theme out there today of what we're talking about is you have to understand how human connections work. And I think the more adept you get at that, provided that you have the some sort of qualifications, you can get there. And I would even go as far to say that even if you think you're a mismatch with certain qualifications, I think is if you prove to be more adept at human connections there, you could even find a job that's somewhat outside your ballpark.
Okay. So whether you're looking for a job across the country or across town, human connections are vital. And Terry, we're going to have to start wrapping up, but I want to come to another point, which is, okay, once you've made that move to a new city, whether you've had a job or you find one after you land, how do you build a community? How do you grow both your professional and your personal network in a new place?
Yes, Mac, I think it's important to devote a certain percentage of your time where you're just gonna take meetings and meet people. And that goes both ways, because even if you get here and you haven't found a position yet and someone's just asking you for advice and you might not feel like you have the time to do it because you're in a job hunt of your own, take the meeting. It's a small town. You know, there's this pay it forward principle.
Yeah.
I would say, with very few exceptions, most cities in America really benefit from the pay it forward system. So I would advise everybody to take a certain percentage of their time, go join organizations that are in their bailiwick. To use sort of my startup example, I'm in the Oregon Entrepreneurs Network. I go to meetups for startups. I go to evening events. You know, the internet's a wonderful thing. You just have to put yourself out there, make the effort. And because you, in this day and age, when you get here, you land a job, it might not be the job.
Right.
So make that time and make those connections. And before too long, and I can tell you from my own personal experience, and you've seen this, you just mentioned it at the outset. In 2 years, I took a lot of coffees. And as I said, very rarely somebody said no. And it took about 2.5 years, but then things started to reverse where people started asking me to hook them up with people. I just like people. I like talking to people. I like having conversations with people. I'm a conversationalist. I'm a personal, that's my form of leadership. So I guess the bottom line is, Mac, if I know it for the let's talk to the introverts of the world for a second that are listening into this. Because I'm sure there are that are like, wow, that's a lot of asking. That's a lot of coffees. And, you know, I don't like to do all that stuff. Do it. Talk to a friend. Just reach out and ask and open yourself up to human connections. And you'll be amazed at the further connections you make, and the types of jobs you land will be better, and you'll find more interesting, and you'll be more fulfilled as a person and in your career, and that's pretty darn cool.
Good. Well, that's a good place to stop. Terry, tell us what's coming up next for you.
Well, you can find me, as you said, at terrystarbacher.com, and you can also find me at my Oregon entrepreneur website, builtoregon.com, where I write quite often there, and I also do a podcast called Making Oregon. So if you go to that site and click the podcast there, I talk to entrepreneurs, and there's a lot of information there. And other than that, you can find me online. And of course, you can find me on LinkedIn. And as I say on LinkedIn, if you're in Portland and you want to have a coffee, you know where to find me.
Great. Well, thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Mac. It's a pleasure.
So we're back in the MaxList studio with Ben and Jenna. So tell me, what do you two think? What were some key takeaways for you from my conversation with Terry?
First of all, while I love and appreciate Terry, I would like to point out that he does not follow the best football team because the New England Patriots are the best football team. On that note, I can tie it in to what you actually talked about, other than my humble brag about the Patriots, was I liked his comment about knowing the culture that you're moving towards because when I grew up here in Portland, and a thing that high school students do is they go to Starbucks because that was the cool thing to get Frappuccinos back in the early 2000s. And then when I went to Boston to make friends and I was asking people if they wanted to go get coffee, there was no Starbucks. So we had to go to Dunkin' Donuts, which I love, but it's like going to a fast food restaurant. So there's no like sit down at couches and hang out and talk about life. It's go get your coffee and then leave and go do some other activity. So I had to find out what that was and get to know people to figure out what their activity was before. So the act of getting coffee is like I feel like that's a Pacific Northwest thing and not so much of a New England thing. So just when you're moving to a new city, find out what that rhythm and culture is. So I thought Terry did a good job about talking about that.
So know your local community and how people connect and where they go to connect. Yeah, good point, Jenna. How about you, Ben?
So,
are we going to get a shout out for one of the Ohio football teams?
Well, you know, I'm from Cleveland, so I'm not even going to try to claim that the Browns are a great football team. But what I really liked was two things. One, Terry's commitment to having a personal relationship and finding that personal touch so that your meetings are not just like transactional based and that you're forming a true, genuine relationship with people. And I find that that does work best. And I encourage job seekers all the time to find out some shared interest because that's the beginning of the dialogue you're going to have with that person. The other thing that I really thought... The other point that I thought he made was, you know, being out there and putting yourself out there and not feeling that you have nothing to contribute back to folks and that you can play this forward later on to other people. And I know when you're a job seeker and if you've been unemployed for a while, sometimes it feels like the power is asymmetrical, that you're always asking people for things and you're not able to give anything back. Well, I think there's almost always something you can do for that person back, you know, offer some advice, read their book and review it on Amazon, whatever. But later on, when you do get that job, you're going to have an opportunity to play it forward for other job seekers and making sure you embrace that role and do the right thing.
Yeah, I agree. For me, one thing that the big thing that stood out for me in my conversation with Terry was when he described being an executive at a cable company and being in the situation where there was a stack of 50 resumes on a desk and he and a colleague were going through them. And the point Terry made about what a difference it can make when someone says, well, I had a conversation with this person and it may have only been 15 or 30 minutes over coffee or in another setting, but that can make a huge difference, that human connection, because as regular listeners will know, the point we make again and again is people hire people they know or they hire people who are recommended by those they trust. And the connection doesn't have to be particularly strong, but a connection can make a huge difference.
Sure. So much of the hiring decision is made around, would I want to work with this person on a day-to-day basis with the assumption that like you're going to have the skill set. And so if you can put yourself up front and show like, hey, I'm an interesting person. I've got good opinions on things, and we could work well together in the future. Like that, you get your resume kind of pulled up to the top of the stack then.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you, Jenna, and thank you, Ben, and thank you all for listening. If you like what you hear on the show, please help us by leaving a review and a rating at iTunes. This helps others discover the show and helps us serve you all better. Now, one of the reviews we received recently is from a listener who uses the iTunes handle Lil Miss Leslie J, and she writes, "I've listened to several shows and I enjoy your format, your theme music, and you three as hosts, as well as Cecilia when she was on. You have really insightful interviews with informative guests, and I'm always given much to think about in my own career direction, and I'm entertained in the process. I bought your book for my sister because she recently started a job search. We aren't in Portland, but the advice is universal. Keep up the great weekly shows. All the best to the team." Well, thank you, Lil Miss Leslie J, and thanks to the more than 100 listeners who've left a rating on the show. Take a moment if you can and leave your own comments and rating. Just go to www.maxlist.org/iTunes. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next Wednesday with more tools and tips you can use to find your own dream job.